Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about financial literacy. And to help me with that conversation, I have Bill Handel, the VP of Research and Chief Economist at Radon. Bill, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan.
Excellent. Now, to get things started, I know that your organization had recently put out a study on financial literacy. And I wanted to point out some of the kind of the interesting facts that I found while going through the study. And the first one really that I wanted to point out was that almost half of the study respondents identify themselves as extremely or financially literate, but fewer than half received a passing grade on a wide-ranging financial literacy quiz that accompanied the study. And only about 6% of them scored an A on that, which I thought was kind of funny that, hey, everybody rates themselves as very financial literate, but when they're given the test, maybe not so much.
Yeah, Ryan, that's a great point. When we did this study, what we did is it took it in two phases. Number one was kind of a self-assessment phase, asking them what they thought about financial literacy and the things that they had done to improve their literacy. But then we put it to the test and actually had a relatively short 15-question test where we asked them actual questions around literacy. And what was very interesting is that we found that the correlation between what they thought they knew and what they actually knew wasn't as strong as you might think. In other words, those people who said they were extremely or very financially literate really were not all that literate. In fact, only about half of those people who said they have high degrees of literacy actually passed the test. And passing was simple. It was getting at least 10 out of the 15 correct. So it's not a high bar. So it was very fascinating for us to see this. I think it just simply points to the big issue that's out there around financial literacy in the United States.
Now, on a quick side note, if people are interested, can they still take the quiz personally themselves? Because I'd be kind of curious to just see where I rank in that. So is that quiz still available for people?
Well, the quiz was actually done out to with a panel. So it was a panel of nationally representative consumers across the country that we actually put together. So it's actually not a public quiz because that actually could end up biasing the results because, you know, some people could get in and answer multiple times. So we actually did it in a very controlled type of environment. So but, you know, we're happy to share the questions that we used with it. That's an interesting thing. In fact, I took the quiz myself to see how I would score. I'm not going to reveal the results, but.
All right. Now, another point that the study made, and I really think that financial institutions should listen to this, is that more literate customers are more likely to use almost all the deposit products than less literate customers. And they're less likely to use the financial institution's branch lobby, so effectively representing a less costly customer for their financial institution. And I found that really to kind of be interesting that it's really almost kind of in the best interest for financial institutions to make sure that their customers are financially literate.
Yeah, that was, I think that was really one of the key findings we found when we looked at the study, Ryan, and that is that financial literacy is actually a win-win proposition. You know, too often in the financial services space, there's kind of a win-lose. If the customer wins, the financial institution loses. And if the financial institution wins, the customer loses. That's not really the case. The case is that as your customers become more literate, they actually become better customers in terms of the depth of product they've got with you. And they become a more efficient customer to serve because they're likely to use a broader range of channels and they're not likely to spend as much time in your lobby trying to resolve, you know, issues that they have created because of, you know, their lack of literacy. So I think there's many good reasons that we should be emphasizing this whole issue of financial literacy with our customers.
Right. Thank you for that. Now, another interesting point that I think as a millennial myself, I would say that I fit into perfectly here was that 81% of Americans say that they would find financial literacy programs at least somewhat valuable, and I agree with that. But 16% have actually attended one, and again, myself never to have attending one. But those who have not participated in the program are more more reliant on online sources as well as family and friends for financial information and guidance. And honestly, I've got to admit here, yes, I think that point right there probably sums up myself in particular very well when it comes to financial literacy and relying on outside sources.
Yeah, there's a little bit of I know a guy mentality in regard to financial literacy that is a little bit dangerous because we don't as a country have a high degree of literacy. And so we sit there and rely upon others to give us advice and to tell us what to do. And I think that in very many cases becomes the source for bad decisions. So I think when we begin to emphasize as financial institutions the fact that we have the expertise that perhaps they're not going to be able to get from the parents. What I find fascinating in all the studies that we've done is how dependent millennials and then even more so Gen Zs are on their parents for advice around financial services and financial literacy. And while that's great that they have that trust, you know, in many cases it's their parents who are in trouble themselves. So I think the more that we can get the consumer to recognize that there are sources of expertise and that expertise resides within our financial institution and we have a myriad of ways in which we can help you to improve your literacy, I think the better off the American consuming public is going to be. And then conversely, the better off we're going to be as an industry.
Yes, I completely agree with that there. So one question that I kind of wanted to follow up with then there on that, if we're saying, okay, parents are good, but sometimes parents really don't have necessarily the best advice. And in my opinion, I think elementary school really does not do a good job or a job at all on teaching financial literacy. So do you really feel that financial institutions kind of really need to step up and play that role of the educator?
Yeah, I think that is a pretty pertinent role, and they can do it either separate or they can do it even as part of a school curriculum. You know, many organizations are now engaged with their local communities, very often in the school setting, to be able to provide these types of things. You don't have to go in that direction. I think there's a lot of other ways to go, but that is one thing to consider. You know, I know of some credit unions as well, some banks who have actually set up branches within their local schools, whether it be at the middle school level or at the high school level, and even some a little bit younger than that. And part of that whole process is to build financial literacy, to just build that awareness of the importance of that. But you don't have to go just down that path. I mean, you know, the other side of it, you can talk about something like what Bank of America has done with Khan Academy, that partnership there where they're really emphasizing the financial literacy part of the Khan Academy. So it's not as though there's necessarily one place to go, but I think we should be thinking about how we get this conversation going at an early age with the consuming public so that as they move into college, they become much more aware. I mean, you want these younger individuals to be making good decisions about debt because pretty soon that debt, you know, the student loan debt, for example, can become an overwhelming thing. Pretty soon they could accumulate credit card debt in a very overwhelming fashion, and you know that's typically one of the most damaging issues that happens with younger consumers is they pile on too much debt in a way that they can't pay off in any reasonable fashion, and then they've simply crippled themselves financially.
Excellent. Completely agree there. Now moving on to another point that the study made. So, well, 38% of Americans find financial literacy programs very or extremely valuable. 55% of millennials felt that way, particularly higher income millennials. And those higher income millennials are about twice as likely to bring more business to their financial institutions if they provide a financial literacy program. So again, I think that really kind of echoes a previous point that we made, that it really makes a lot of sense for these financial institutions to be providing these financial literacy services to particularly millennial customers who are looking for this type of information, because it's really resulting in more business for the financial institutions.
Right, right. It's a great point. And I think the key thing we have to remember as financial service providers is that, you know, how do we differentiate ourselves in the minds of the consumer? You know, what is our differentiation? I think financial literacy provides a real, very possibly strong orientation or differentiation for the in the consumer's mind, because what we're doing there with financial literacy is telling them that we are their advocates. We are there to support them. We are there to help them make a better financial life for themselves, to make retirement easier, to make debt management easier, to make this process logical. You know, the issue that in my mind is that, you know, all of us who are in the financial services space, you know, think and dream in basis points. I mean, we understand all this terminology. And so it seems in many cases just second nature to us, and that everyone should understand it. The average consumer doesn't understand a lot of financial concepts that are just very much second nature to us. And so if we put ourselves in their shoes, then we begin to understand, the more that we can make this financial literacy a part of our value proposition, the stronger our position with those consumers is going to be. And I think that's why we saw that result with the millennials. If you think about the millennials and then you think about the next generation that follows, Gen Z, both those groups have seen the carnage that was caused by the financial crisis, and they've experienced it. If not firsthand, they've seen it within their families or within the, you know, within the families of their friends and things like this. So it's a very real issue, I think. And so I think that's why we need to understand that psyche and take advantage of this and make financial literacy a cornerstone to what we do as organizations.
I think there's really great points made there. And in particular, I think it's kind of a more of a focus on kind of, hey, we probably should talk about financial literacy kind of from almost a 101 standpoint, because, you know, a lot of the younger generation really is not getting that kind of basis. And as you pointed out, those who are heavily involved in the financial space, we kind of know these things. We deal with them day in and day out. So we kind of look at things from that level and not saying, well, if I was just starting in this career, what are some of the things realistically that I should know about the financial space and things that I should be aware of? And as we pointed out before, the earlier that you kind of know these things, the better off you're going to be in the long run. And so particularly, you know, in talking about the long run here, the last point that I want to bring up about that the survey made was that of those who have attended the financial literacy programs, the most popular sessions attended were financial planning at 52%, closely followed by retirement at 49%, and then wealth management investing at 36%. So I think that really kind of goes to show that, you know, when it comes to millennials and financial literacy overall, that people do want to know this information. They want to know, okay, how do I get to the next steps that I need to get to in order to, say, retire or to be able to do wealth building and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think that there is an interest for sure. I think that's point number one. And point number two is we would suggest that as an organization, as a financial institution, should take a modularized approach to what they do in financial literacy. And that is, take and craft different types of modules in terms of what we're educating you on, because as people go through the gates of life, their orientation, things that become most important to them, will change over time. So, so you really want to have that, you know, things around retirement, things around wealth management, things around investing, but you also want to have things around debt management, you know, appropriate debt management. How do you know that you've got the right amount of debt? When's the appropriate use of debt? All of these types of things, modularize these, use different types of channels to communicate. It shouldn't not necessarily all be classrooms. Sometimes you're going to use things like video. You know, the Gen Zs, for example, are huge consumers of information via YouTube. So you want to use all the different types of channels as a way to continue to foster that education and that improvement in terms of literacy. So you know, I think the time is really ripe, and it's a really good time for financial institutions to really commit to these types of programs, because they really can be a differentiator and result in a much, and really the bottom line benefit to all of us in America is that this results in a much more successful country, because consumers will be much more prepared, for a financially healthy life.
Right. I certainly agree with you there. And I'm glad that you brought up the different ways in which financial institutions are to kind of take a look and how to build probably these programs or these financial literacy programs out there to get them educated. And I'm glad earlier that you had brought up, the name of Khan Academy. That happens to be one of my favorite, and how it is that he breaks things down, and he makes it in a very simple way to kind of start, and then you can grow and expand upon the knowledge that you want to know within a particular area. Right. I think if people are kind of looking at, okay, how do I craft this from a technology perspective, I think going to that site would really be a good representation of, a model in which that people or financial institutions should consider. So with all that being said, before we close out here, Bill, is there anything in addition that you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to, the one thing I'd like to add, make sure everyone's aware, is that these things actually do work. These programs actually do work. What we found is when we administered that quiz to the respondents, we tracked the results by those, on the basis of how often or whether or not they had engaged in literacy programs with a financial institution or online or any other source. And what we found is that those people who were actively engaged in financial literacy processes or courses or anything else like this had a pass rate on the test which was twice the average for everybody else. In other words, we had an 84% pass rate for those who had been engaged in financial literacy programs versus 42% for those who had not had significant engagement. And that to me is very telling, because that says that these things actually can work. This is not just frosting or window dressing that we're doing here. We really can make a difference in terms of the ability and capability of our customers.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Bill, for taking the time today for speaking to us about financial literacy, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you very much, Ryan. I appreciate this.